Here we go, everyone. I'm reconnecting with a friend I met at PodFest last year, Charlie, 2 years ago now?
Last January. Yeah, January 23. Yeah.
Last PodFest. If you've ever been to PodFest and you're an aspiring podcaster or are a podcaster, definitely head out to Orlando each year. You meet an incredible community, and the workshops will get you going from start to finish. But that's where I 100%. Met today's guest, Charlie Burney. Charlie, thanks for coming on the show.
I'm absolutely thrilled, Vincent. Thank you very much for the invitation. Glad to be here.
Of course. Everyone, be sure to check out his Writing with Authors episode in the show description. He's got a great book, and it's on podcasting. That's what one of the reasons that brought him here to that entrepreneur show. But he does a whole lot more. He's holding it up now. He's got Podville Media. He's got the podcast book. He really can help everyone looking to get more information on the subject or act on hiring a professional. It's not easy to juggle all of the tasks that are involved in producing a podcast, and his company does it all. Why don't we hop right into that, Charlie? Let's talk more about Podville.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I love talking about it. I started podcasting, by my math now, Vincent, 10 years ago, and it didn't, as probably many people will say of that journey, I didn't really know what I was doing at first. I was a very, very amateur musician. And I had some microphones, you know, some Shure SM57s and cables. And I had, an amplifier, and thought I could do it with all of that gear. And of course, I was very misinformed, but I bought a Behringer 4-track. I've got the old $30 2-track that I also used at that time right here, because we don't use that anymore. And started podcasting. I think the very first interview we did was a guy who ran a warehouse business to teach people how to run warehouses. And we had two hosts and one guest and two microphones. So I was talking like this the whole time, thinking that that would be okay. Don't look for it, but it's there somewhere buried on SoundCloud. So I started podcasting. I just felt, Vincent, from my core, my dad was a great storyteller, told jokes his whole life. I had seen a professional like Burl Ives guy when I was in college tell stories. And I've always just felt that communicating, and now with podcasting, that it was going to be huge, that this wouldn't die. It wasn't a passing fancy, that the ability to, you know, and now we talk about branding and personal branding, which we didn't talk about so much 10 and 15 years ago.
Right.
And that's the easiest. It's a wonderful way to do it. I want to shout out to my mom, who will probably never listen to this. She's 94. But she did, when I was a teenager, she went in and volunteered her time with Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. And I was so proud of her. And she would read textbooks so that blind students could listen to the textbooks. And I often try to explain what I do to her. She never quite remembers, but that it's like what she did when I was a teenager, and that she influenced me. And then when I was a young adult, Dad and I would listen to recorded books, and he'd finish the American Revolution and say, "You want to get a second listen out of this?" So I'm in love with storytelling, in love with the whole form. And as we've seen, the podcast landscape in America by Sounds Profitable came out a few weeks ago, and that described how the understanding of the word podcast now is 95%. Now, back 10 years ago, when I started, and I apologize, I don't remember when you started, but all of my time, not all, but 95% of my time was spent explaining what a podcast was and what that purple app was. You know what I'm saying? So I started podcasting. I'll try to make this a little short. Good luck. Started podcasting in a co-working space because it just made sense. I'd left a job of 26 years voluntarily. I wanted to try something new. And so I started podcasting actually with a friend who had turned me on to a podcast, For Immediate Release, Shel Holtz and Neville Hobson. And they're still producing their show. And I had thought, well, this is just going to be interesting. I was in this co-working space, and I thought, why don't I interview everybody in the co-working space and help them promote? They use that in their newsletter once a week, and it was complimentary as a gift for them. That's how I got started. And then I started saying, well, would you like a podcast, Jeff, or would you like a podcast? So I just learned. I watched a lot of Pat Flynn. I followed Ray Ortega, And slowly understood how to do it, how to condense the sound, how to get better quality of sound. It's all about what I call a cocktail for the ear, even though I don't drink anymore. It's about the auditory experience and how this is my office that you see me in. I've soundproofed it. I've got a good rig, so I don't have to go into one of our studios. So I was podcasting. Then a local radio show that had become a podcast, lots of transitions in radio, of course, in the last 10 years. I listened to one of the hosts. He went to business school to learn how to make their podcast better. And then at one point, they did an outreach about a podcast app that they had built. And I went to the Reagan Center to be part of his study group. And the way he and I tell it, I kept asking such good questions that he finally turned to me and said, "Well, we're breaking out and you're in my group." And that's Oscar Zaballos. He was doing a daily called The Mike O'Mara Show. Had been a daily radio show, talk comedy stuff, and they're still around. And we just had lunches, and I had already created Podcast Village. That was the first name of our podcast company. And I was doing it, charging very little, moderate success, but I had done several hundred, maybe more than 500 episodes by that time. And Oscar said to me, "When I'm done business school, if you're looking for a partner, call me up." And I called him up as soon as I heard on the show that they were done, and we got together and got married in a business sense. And we've been pushing forward ever since. We converted Vincent to Podville Media for a couple of reasons. The most purposeful one was video. So very soon after we partnered, and I could see this in other professions, in residential real estate, in all sorts of non-related professions, the profound value of video. And even before I partnered with Oscar, I was doing video, but I'm 61 now. And even in my early 50s, learning Premiere Pro was just going to be brutal for me. So I had already hired my first employee, and she understood video, Sarah Fernandez, thinking about you all the time, and did all the video work for me. I did it a little, but it was really tough. I totally understood the audio, but the video was a quantum leap for me, Vincent. And I knew how important video would be as part of it. Most of the time, I certainly listen to your show on audio. I'm driving. I don't have a dog anymore. Miss you, Samwise. But most of the time I spend, whether I'm doing my exercises, shout out to Vincent, who goes to the gym like a faithful maniac every day. I watch your Instagram stories. It's amazing. And it's an example to me. And I knew how important, and Oscar and I knew how important video would be, the lighting, the quality. And we have what is essentially a television studio. We call Studio A here. The White House Historical Society is coming in to start their new season today. And so we changed the name from Podcast Village, which once people understood, as we were talking, what a podcast is, it became somewhat exclusionary to what we were doing. We were creating media, some documentary stuff, work with ESPN, and to call ourselves Podcast Village sort of boxed that perception from the name. My father taught me when we worked together in real estate, a lot of things depend on the sense of arrival, how you feel when you arrive somewhere. And Podcast Village pushed out the ability in the name to think that we did very complicated video. So we changed the name to Podville Media and haven't looked back since. It's a name that fits. So that's a long version. Sorry.
No, it's a very valuable version. And it's the advice you gave there, and I've just typed it up for the show notes. The perception your name can give, it goes a long way. And there he noticed that he may be boxing himself into a corner, losing out on business, for example, and big clients such as ESPN. He pivoted. He made it happen. He said he hasn't looked back, but his brand has evolved, obviously. How many clients total have you served now? I feel like you would know that.
Oh, it's too many. It's hundreds.
Yeah, I knew that in the hundreds. Yeah,
it's in the, we together, Oscar and I have done, and we have a small staff. We're about 10, many thousands of episodes of podcasts. And I could go down a long list. When you come, we've got them all, you know, on tiles in the lobby. And there's
that's
huge
so cool
sign that says Podville Media in the middle of the O, the red light flashes and pulses. And we spent a lot of time on the perception. People have asked me why I do this. As I mentioned this for my Zoom calls, I want you to know I'm a podcaster when you look at me. So that's sort of a digital sense of arrival. But I've also talked a lot of people, Vincent, into upgrading their game for their Zoom game, unrelated to podcasting, because I think it's again, it's complementary to the ear, and it's important how you are perceived. So that's the Podville Media story in short. And Oscar tells it a little differently, but it's the same story. So
I love it. I'd love to have Oscar on the show sometime if he would like to come on. We can definitely invite him on. But as I mentioned, you didn't just grow with more clients, thousands. I don't know. For some reason, I felt like you would have a tally of every client and every guest.
We should. It's so many. I mean, it would take me a while. I could list. I've got tiles here. We do health gig. We used to do golf business. We did the George and Barbara Bush podcast with their grandson. Power that's Station cool. is one that's very near and dear to my heart. There's a lady who does and Pasmanic does a show about everything in the sort of community need, whether it's pro bono lawyers or people working with the homeless. And I say to Ann every week, I said, I have lived in Washington, D.C., and it's kind of global now, but all my life, and I learned something every week about our own community that I never knew about and that I want to know about. And that's amazing. Isn't that one of the beauties of podcasting? You can find, you know, this incredibly wide variety, whether you're trying to learn jokes or learn the mandolin or learn about fitness. And you can learn things. And in that same report, I mentioned that one of the things is educate and entertain. And I learned something from the shows that I listen to every single day. You know,
that's one of the best parts about podcasting. Each guest I sit down with, I learn something, and something, I mean, at least 5 to 10 things probably from each guest. Yeah. And I think you're always a learner until the learning never stops unless you wanted to, I should say. But I do want to show some love to your book. I definitely wanted to show some awareness for as large as the company's grown, everyone out there. Before we touch on the book though, what's the website for you, Charlie?
The website for the company is simply Podville Media, just one word, PodvilleMedia.com. And good, we actually just updated. We got to use that word. Updated the video that sort of you drag down about a half an inch on the front page. And that's kind of fun because one of our summer employees did that. She did a great job. Shout out to Autumn. She's going back to college. And it's nice because we're always trying to fix and update. It's never static. My LinkedIn page, I changed.
Same thing I had
on a weekly basis. Yeah.
Yeah. It's mine. I was the same for too long and I was doing it all myself, of course, at that point. So everything was backdated and it was hours and hours. I had to just start over, but that's okay. Yeah. Now onto this book, the way we connected in Author Alley at Podfest. I don't know if they've always done that. That was the first year I've noticed the Author Alley, where it's simply just authors lined up on tables on each side of you. You connect with these authors. I came across so cool. Charlie. Let's talk about this book.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story I don't think you know about the book. And I've sold a few copies of my first book this summer because it's on Amazon. This book will be on Amazon next year. Okay. But so I think people have gone looking for me and found this other book. I wrote a book. My father was very ill. And with one of my clients, Hilda Labrada Gore, who does Wise Traditions podcast, and it was one of my very first clients when I was out in Gaithersburg. I'm downtown DC now, and we wrote a book called Podcasting Made Simple. Now, the funny part of the story, Vincent, is about a month after that we self-published it. It's a little thin book. I've got it right here, but the Rodecaster Pro came out. And as you're already laughing, the trouble is the Rodecaster Pro made most of the things that I talked about technically in the book completely invalid. I mean, you may or may not remember Mix Minus when I'm trying to get a good quality on a phone call or a Zoom call. Well, you don't need any of that stuff. The software and the hardware are so much better now. Yeah. And I've got my own personal use Rodecaster Duo now that I'm going to use for my first podcast in years. And so it's very funny. We had a great time writing it together and it distracted me from my father's health concerns. But so I wrote my second book during the quarantine, and I may have told you this story, but I'm a doodler. I'm a sketch artist, so to speak, or a comic stripper. I had drawn a picture sort of like this one. And that's my sticker. If anybody wants one, just reach out. And the Yin Yang microphone, and written in a, you know, I was in my basement for months because we didn't go in for the first part. Then Oscar and I, Oscar was always working and helping other people build home studios. Some of our clients needed home studios at that time. And he wore the spacesuit, and his wife, who's our COO, wore the spacesuit and would go out. And I wrote the Tao of podcasting. When I was in college, Vincent, I studied religion and philosophy, and my sort of area of major interest was the Chinese philosophy of Taoism, T-A-O. And if anybody out there is interested in learning about it, one of the coolest books is called The Tao of Pooh. Winnie the Pooh is basically a Taoist master. You know, he's like Yoda. And so I thought then as we... I looked at that sketch I'd made of the Yin Yang microphone, and I wrote the Tao of podcasting. I thought, what if you take their seminal work, which is the Tao Te Ching, 81 verses about how to live with nature, oversimplified, and try to interpret that into the language of podcasting. And that's what I did with this book. So it's not, it's, the thought is to make it evergreen so it won't get out of practice. It won't have software, hardware, make it non-usable. And then I realized I've been drawing for 9 years now, 10 years, microphones, drawing podcast guests, drawing things around the studio. I never knew what to do with them. And in a traditional book, translation of the Tao Te Ching, you'll often see Chinese calligraphy in the margins or a section on it. In Alan Watts' book, The Watercourse Way, there's 30 pages of Chinese calligraphy because it just makes you think about the brushstrokes, make you think about some of the lessons. And then I thought, well, I've got all these drawings. So as you'll see, if anybody's watching this, I'll just flip real quick. Actually, I ought to flip so you can see. I just took the calligraphy out and put in all of my pictures of guests and podcasts and the gear and changed that out. So it's the Tao of podcasting as well as what I call podcast sketchbook. And I've just put those together. I did the interpretations and I had a lot of fun with it. It was a passion project for sure. The idea is you will look at it and we're so wrapped up into our world, into our schedules, into the 10,000 things, Taoist term of life, the many complications, the wires, the boards, the gear, the different microphones, the different techniques, that it's a very complicated world. The idea behind this is it's a micro moment of meditation. If you're getting ready, you might just open the book anywhere, read five lines that sort of parallel the Tao Te Ching, take a moment to just breathe in and breathe out, and then go on about your business. When I talk about the studio and the yin yang of podcasting, Vincent, it's I talk a lot, and I'll probably talk at the Pichacucha this coming January at PodFest. Shout out to PodFest. About what I call the silence before the sound, the pause before the podcast, because most of the time these studios are dark. Now, I wish they were booked all the time. I'm in the business of producing and creating. But the truth of it is, when I come early, when I stay late, I love to walk down the hall and look at the podcast studio, the production studio at rest, because it is a balance of two things. And I think that's very valuable for us to sort of take that one. I'm not trying to replace Katie with all of her podcasts about meditation, and that's not my gig. But I think it's important for us to remember the other side of what podcasting is and value the silence before the sound. I'm actually doing not a podcast, but a comic strip now. And my co-host is the microphone, and he's going to talk in episode 3, hopefully come out today, about what it is to be the conduit of all of these voices and all of these interviews. And I think it's good just to sort of turn things sideways and try to take a brief moment to get out of all the news cycle and all the, you know, frenzied family activities that we have. I have boy-girl twins that are 23, and it's still, you know, I still worry about them all the time. So I'm just trying to say, hey, it's okay. Comedians use silence as a way to amplify what they're doing, the pauses between their bits, between how they deliver. We're doing that too. I think it's just important for us to remember to be calm, even if only for a moment, and then move on. And that's the sort of super secret message I'm trying to say with the Tao of Podcasting.
Thank you so much for that. And everyone out there, you're going to see his passion through the screen. You got to head to YouTube so you can watch some of this on YouTube.
Thank you.
He truly loves what he's doing. And he's been at it for a bit, continuing to evolve. We've learned about his business. Yes. We've learned about his books. Before we hop into this week's spotlight story, you brought podcasting back. What's the name of your show?
Well, the comic strip is just on my Instagram and TikTok account. My Instagram is just Charlie, Charlie Bernie. And on TikTok, it's Tao of Podcasting, one word, Taoof Podcasting. I'm going to do we haven't decided on a name, a podcast starting this fall with my cousin, who's been a musician for about 40, going on 50 years. And he called me up and said, people keep saying I should talk about my adventures. And I jumped out of my chair and said, Yahoo, because I adore him. And I've been listening to his music since I was 15 years old. And so we're going to do, we haven't decided on the name. His idea, I don't like it. I got to talk him out of it. So we'll be doing it, but it'll be music based. He's been writing songs and performing at weddings and all over for, like I said, close to 50 years, I think. And I'm super excited about it. So if you follow me, I will talk about it on LinkedIn as well. You know, I love LinkedIn also. And that the name to be determined, but it will be about his band, which is named after a Gram Parsons song. If any of your listeners know Gram Parsons, it's called the Sin City Band, and it's sort of American folk rock, and it's just a joy. So I appreciate your saying that. I'm really excited, like I haven't been for a few years, that I'll be doing a show, and it will just be super cool, and we'll get to play his music and talk about his music.
Well, I'm excited for you. Congratulations on getting it back off the ground. Everyone, you got his information there. Be sure to follow him. And before we find out which entrepreneur Charlie will sit down with throughout history, dead or alive, we're going to hop into that spotlight story. This one is from Castos. It is top 7 benefits of podcasting for business and entrepreneurship. And I'm going to go through each of these. Then I'll bring back on Charlie at the end and we'll get his expertise added on to what I said. But in recent years, podcasting has emerged as one of the most popular and effective ways to reach customers, build a brand, and even make money. They've gained popularity due to their convenience, flexibility, and accessibility. Now I'm about to touch on these 7, and I'll dive into a few as well after. 1, podcasts are easier to create than ever before. 2, podcasts are low-cost, high-impact marketing tools. 3, podcasts establish your brand as an authority in your industry. Feature other businesses and entrepreneurs as guests. Easily grow your audience or drive listenership through advertising campaigns. Podcasts establish yourself as a thought leader in your industry. And all you need is some basic equipment and a topic. We mentioned earlier with Charlie, he's got the new Rodecaster Duo. Me, I'm someone who's always been in apartment buildings, always extremely loud, always on the road. I have a great headset that I use. I'm on the road right now, but at the office, I've got a gaming headset. I think technically it's called Crystal Clear Sounds. I've learned how to use my editing, my upload software as well. I use GarageBand. It came in my computer. And when it happened, I called Apple. When I got it, I said, hey, I'm starting a podcast. I have this software on the computer already. Teach me how to use it. So I learned how to do that there. But definitely, if you want a podcast on his level, Rodecaster Duo, go ahead and Google that. That will come up. Another area I want to touch on here is featuring other businesses and entrepreneurs as guests. This show is exclusively for founders of companies and brands. But no matter which show you are, bringing an entrepreneur on your show and then having them share it with their audience, you actually grow your audience quite a bit. A lesson learned I found is from the beginning where I would take any guests. Now it's really structured where I won't accept every guest. Will that guest be willing to share your episode link after it airs? Your whole network knows what you do. They either listen or they don't. But a new guest comes on, they share that link with a whole new audience. You never know what can come out of it. A new guest, a new listeners, or another meaningful connection. And the last one I'm going to touch on today before we bring on back Charlie is, podcasts establish your brand as an authority in your industry. Now that I've been doing these shows over 3.5 years, weekly shows, they are the top 1% and 3% globally with the show. So that comes back to me as the host, comes back to my guests. making them expert guests, myself, the expert host in the mental health and entrepreneurship field. Charlie, I touched on a few great areas there. What are some of your takeaways? What can you add to the conversation?
Well, there's so much to those seven topics, and it's absolutely true. I heard recently on one of the shows, it might be Sounds Profitable, that I also listened to, because as a producer, I try to listen to everything that we create as well as much other content that we don't produce as I possibly can. I don't remember where I heard it. It might have been on Sounds Profitable, but there was an anecdote about a mattress store recently, and you may have heard it, that has a podcast, and they were able to literally, I might not have predicted this, Vincent, literally predict an increase in sales specifically due to their podcast. I was just astounded by that.
Amazing.
So 10 years ago, just one more quick thought. What I did is, as I mentioned to you, is I would explain to people, I'd say, well, I'm podcasting now, and say, what's a podcast? Of course, now, the podcast landscape said there's 95% people that haven't all listened to a podcast, but complete comprehension. And that's for many reasons. Serial, the Hulu show Only Murders in the Building. So many reasons that podcasting is absolutely understood. But now, instead of explaining what a podcast is, when I'm talking to business clients and all clients, I'm saying, why aren't you podcasting? Because there's so many benefits to it. Just getting your message out. If you're a comedian, if you're a performer, if you're doing almost anything like the mattress store, which I never would have guessed. I did a podcast for a few years in the very early days in Gaithersburg with a business consultant. He sort of did business therapy, and it was a wonderful replacement for his newsletter. There's a great example. He was tired of writing a blog post once a week, and he stopped by my office one day and he said, "What do you do here?" Because in the co-working space, I was the only guy with a bunch of microphones and some computers, and you know, nobody understood what I was doing back then. And I said, "Well, I'm doing this thing, a podcast." And I said, "Why don't you come in here once a week and just, you can use me as your foil and talk about whatever you want." And we did it for 2 years. I think he still gets listens. It's a wonderful way of, like you said, it's not, it doesn't have to be expensive. We're a one-stop shop. So if you want social media, if you want built upon your content, if you want video, you want audio, some of our clients say, well, this is so great because I can just walk in, there's a cup of coffee waiting for me, and I can do my thing, and then I can stand up and walk out. But it doesn't matter. A lot of the people at PodFest are people who are doing it themselves, everything. And I love that. And I love communicating with them. It's a great, I know we've talked about that a lot, but it's a wonderful family. I've never met a group. I've been in the golf industry and the tourism industry in my past. I've never met a more receptive community than the podcast community. And so that's my story.
It's very interesting. And the same goes with entrepreneurship in general. Other industries, it's more cutthroat. You want to get ahead of the person you're competing with. In entrepreneurship, everybody is very quickly to give an introduction at the least. So I've learned people may not always be in the position to buy books or buy this because that's not their target. You know, that's not for them, and that's fine. But as far as using their expertise to help others, one of the many goals of this show is bringing guests on like Charlie to share his story, have everyone learn through his experiences. I'm a career learner, but some things you don't get out of a book, you get from firsthand experience. Yeah. And we bring on Charlie today, which makes me very intrigued. I've known Charlie for going on since the last podcast, but we're in more regular contact than just a quick introduction. You meet, we're in touch all the time. So I'm interested to learn which entrepreneur throughout history, dead or alive, would you choose to sit down with, Charlie?
Well, I certainly have a live one that I would love to meet. It's hard to break through. He's got a whole phalanx of team members. There's a guy named Rob Dial who does a show called The Mindset Mentor, and I listen to his podcast, and he often talks about the writings and teachings of Alan Watts, who is maybe the most famous American Taoist. And I would love to get through that wall so I could give him my book. I'm not trying to get on his show. I just really enjoy it. And every time he talks about Alan Watts and I'm driving, I pull over and I send a message on Instagram. I would love to talk to him. I think he gives great value, and I really enjoy it. The entrepreneur that I learned the most from, Vincent, really was my father, who was a lawyer. When I called him up in school when I was in college studying philosophy, I said, "Dad, I'm just not going to go to business school, and I'm not going to become a lawyer." And that would have meant the end of five generations of attorneys in the Bernie family. And he said, oh, thank God, it's a horrible profession. And he got into marinas, and we built a golf course, and we ran a restaurant. Don't get in the restaurant business if you can avoid it. And we did. He was never afraid to try something, even if we knew nothing about it. And he was an open-minded guy. He said the right tool for the right job. And that meant if you're going to go into golf, you find a golf advisor. We were horrible golfers, both of us, but we have a very, very successful property here in Maryland called Queenstown Harbor. And he was a great, great teacher to me. Dad's gone on, but I try to think about him. I tell his same jokes still to this day. Even when I was 50, he'd say, Chaz, you should make friends on the elevator ride. And I try to do that all the time. So if I could get another few minutes with my dad, I think that would be my first choice, I got to tell you. So,
all right. Well, then we're going to delve a bit deeper here. Where would the meeting be if you get one more meeting? Where is it going down?
Oh, he'd want to go to the Port Annapolis Marina, which is a business that he built, not being a sailor, but not knowing anything about marina management. It was a place of intense joy to him. And that's a business that I still am on the board of to this day. And I know he'd want to sit out, look at the boats, and just take it in.
I'd
absolutely meet him there. Yeah.
Well, Charlie, thanks for such a great show. You gave so much back to our community. I really appreciate that. And your time for joining That Entrepreneur Show this week. One more time with where we can find you online.
Well, I'm Charlie Burney on LinkedIn. The Instagram account where I post reels about the book and I post the comic strip that I mentioned is just Charlie Burney, one word, CharlieBirney. And then I'm trying to learn TikTok, and that's Dow of podcasting on TikTok, although now I'm sort of thinking I ought to reconsider that, but that's what it is. I've got fully 330 followers, and I'm on the race to 1,000.
Hey, you'll get there.
You get the hyperlink. So those are the two best ways to find me. I do post a couple times a week on LinkedIn, and I think that's a wonderful resource. Super quick, the one thing that I took away from PodFest that was very unexpected for me last January, I attended Hala Taha's, that's just H-A-L-A-T-A-H-A, session about LinkedIn. I've been doing LinkedIn for as long as I can remember, and I learned so much in that session. I follow her very closely. I often say I have an unofficial secret cloaked with a Romulan device board of advisors, and there are people like you, like Hala, and I have about 10 that I use, and I have them all on my shoulder when I'm trying to think something through. And I learned so much from her complimentary sessions that I've improved my LinkedIn game this year appreciably. And that's why we listen, and that's why we watch, right?
I love it. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I have as a solopreneur mainly, my social media locks are always on, so I'm not on. But now that I'm having help with some content creation, it's given me more time to actually use the apps and resources. LinkedIn is a huge resource, everyone. The show is there at That Entrepreneur Show. We're on the other socials, That Entrepreneur Show. Head to YouTube, Vincent A. Lancey, to check out the video of this episode. There'll be some clips from there. And now that YouTube has podcasts, there is a podcast channel with it. Buzzsprout doesn't push it out automatically to them because I guess it's video and Buzzsprout is audio only. Right. But we're on there. And with that, we're signing off. Charlie,
thank you so much, Vincent. Thank you. Really appreciate it.